This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, buddy, hour two, G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Big day of sports, even though the Rangers are off, Mavs are off. Stars in action tonight against Winnipeg, and the NFL draft is now just 2 weeks away. Here's Woolchuck with your NFL news of the day.
Hell yeah, a week from today, Draft 101 right here downstairs at our showroom, 4131 North Central Expressway. Get here. It's myself, Bobby Belt, the great Brian Broaddus, Super Bowl winning scout. He's done this a time or two. We'll have our DallasCowboys.com team with us as well. Whataburger, they're going to feed you dinner. So, I mean, that's really the star of the show. That's the reason to come. Get some free Whataburger. But no sign-up necessary. Just show up at 6:45, 4131 North Central Expressway next Thursday. And next Wednesday, right down the street from our studios off of Henderson, we'll be at Shell Shack. So happy to answer your draft questions.
Yeah, come eat some crawfish with me.
Going to be delicious. It's going to be an awesome time.
Got good crawfish. There.
Let's start with the Cowboys news. DeMarvin Overshown, Agent Zero, he's been making the rounds. Last week it was Good Morning Football. Yesterday it was NFL Live. Today it was the Up and Adams show with Kay Adams. And Kay did ask him, hey, Demo, when do you think you're going to be back on the field?
Look, if you ask me, it's training camp. I'm strapping up my boots towards the end of the training camp. I'm flying around. Now we just, we being safe. You know, it's a long game. You know, this is one of the things, as good as I feel, you know, AP, 8 months warrior comeback, you know, and have one of the greatest running back seasons ever. You know, it's East Texas water. That's my guy. I got to talk to him about it. But, you know, nowadays being young in my career, it's something that you don't want to rush. So, you know, probably start off on the PUP list, but I'm not throwing away starting off at week one. Like, I'm never throwing that out the door.
That's
something I'm working for. Yeah. I'm working for that. So best believe when I come in here every morning, like, I'm looking at playing week one. That's what I'm working towards. But I know we got professionals and trainers that's been doing this for two decades, three decades. So I'm definitely going to trust what they got planned for me.
They got the best, Britt Brown, Jim Maurer, et cetera. And Overshown is an incredible worker. I mean, the way he was able to come back from the previous injury. I saw Dak out there again today when we went and did the draft show. He's constantly out there. But these guys are going to get him ready as soon as possible. To his point, they're not going to rush him if he's not quite right. But that's exciting news. I was kind of just chalking this up to, like, I don't know. I think you should probably go into the season not expecting to have Diggs and Overshown. And then if they do come back at any point, hell yeah, that's awesome. But just have the contingency plan in place. But DeMarvin Overshown, very confident, believe it, achieve it. And you know what? I'm not going to doubt him.
I'm more confident in Overshown than I am Diggs, just because it's a microfracture and history of microfracture, which is extensive. It's just you struggle to make it back in year one to what you were. I think he can still be pretty good. But, you know, I think Overshown's just a maybe week five type of deal. You're talking ACL, MCL, PCL with this. Yeah. This isn't just a simple ACL recovery. It's a lot. But, you know, hey. 5-6 months from now, I could see him in the mix.
Freak athlete, no doubt. And he puts in the work. I mean, that's kind of the big difference between those two from some of the whispers, the Overshown and the Diggs.
Yeah, the commitment level, I think, is through the roof with Overshown. Well, if you're not committed coming back from micro, it might be done. your career might be over.
Yeah, we're going to have to see. Hopefully, and we have seen videos of Diggs working out. So I'm hoping for the best in that scenario.
You said you mentioned seeing Dak. I know, Broadus, you've seen Dak out there rehabbing and stuff. Does he look considerably leaner to you guys or thinner? Like, because they're calling him the Slim Reaper, his teammates are.
No, it's
saying he's
accurate.
Dropped 30-something pounds. I'm like, there's no way he could drop that much.
No, he looks.
This is the lightest he's been?
No, when we go to training camp, Dak always looks like he's in shape.
For sure. But like the last 3 years, I think he's looked considerably
better. But 225 or 230 in shape, not 205 as some of the
reports have said. He's not 205, I don't think. No.
No, he looks fantastic. Like the video that went viral of Jake Ferguson, 50 pounds, that was a joke.
That's a joke.
He doesn't have 50 pounds to lose.
Yeah,
it's impossible. But he looks fantastic. He really, really does. Here's the other cut of Overshown. This was yesterday on NFL Live, and I love this because we got the draft 2 weeks from today. Of course, we'll have all the coverage for you. We'll have our Pluckers party. We'll be out at the Pluckers in Plano 2 weeks from today as well. Then Brian and I will head out to the Star for our coverage starting at 6 o'clock, and then you should make your way out to all of the Pluckers locations across DFW because we're having fan host representation all over. It's one of the best nights of the entire year here on 105.3 The Fan. But here was Overshown's advice.
I got somebody listening to the program today, and this guy just told me Dak is 228.
228.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, it's same as always.
You know how awesome it is to be 228 and be told how lean you look.
He does though.
You're a specimen.
I know one thing. Like him and Britt Brown and those, they get after it. Those guys, when we walk I'm like going, man, they are out there. And it's like every other day. I mean, every day. I know I do a show out there every day, and I look out there same time. I mean, that's all you're asking, man. Guys like that with the consistency and stuff like that, because they'll get you right.
Work ethic, never question.
Just hope that Diggs kind of follow the same path.
I mean, the biggest mistake I ever made in my injury history was not rehabbing the ankle rebuild correctly, and it has tormented me for 20 years.
Yeah.
I had 6 months to do it, and I got laid off. My health insurance expired.
Well,
oh no.
Yeah, and
that's a big deal.
I was kind of on my own at 26 years old, clueless, and royally screwed it up.
Can't you jump back on that right now, though? I believe you can,
bro.
Yeah,
it could get better. It could get better, yeah.
Okay.
I've made it, better at times.
You almost scared the hell out of me for a second. So, oh, my God. What? What do you mean?
Now, you're putting in the work, Lucius. Here's DeBarbie and Overshown, the advice to all of the draft picks that will be selected 2 weeks from now.
What would you say to those guys who are drafted in later rounds about what it takes to make it at the next level?
Remember where you write where you're supposed to be. Don't let that number beside your name, wherever you get drafted, undrafted, because, just being here my short span of time, I done seen guys that was drafted at the highest and guys that was drafted at the lowest. And those guys, you couldn't tell which one was drafted the highest because the undrafted guy, he came to work every day with a chip on his shoulder. So please don't let that number discourage you of your worth, of what you put on tape all throughout college. Just know that you got it in you. Don't let the NFL scare you from what you've been working for your whole life.
I love it. It's a great perspective. Third round pick. Might be the best pick of that entire draft class. What are you smiling about over there?
I'm just always, these text messages I get every once in a while, I'm sorry.
They're negative texts?
No, they're actually really good.
Okay, thank God. I love you, whoever's texting in.
No, it's funny. I got something for Dawson when he's done.
Okay.
We're done here.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Great. We need that. But hey, rookie of the year 2 years ago.
Hopefully it's steroids.
It's
HGH. Get my leg back.
It's advice.
Get some that BPC 157.
Hey, whatever you can mix in there.
You heard about this?
Say what?
These BPC 157 peptides. Okay. Peptides are like the new rage right now.
Oh, the peptides.
And that particular one can solve your pain problem.
Okay.
It can
heal your body, bro. The peptides. Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
You jumping on the peptide game?
If you can get your hands on them.
If you can get your hands on them.
A little bit tough to get.
I mean, marijuana is better.
May or may not have a plug.
Would you say what?
What?
What'd you say?
I didn't say anything, did I?
You said that marijuana's better?
What did I say?
I heard you say marijuana.
You are in all
better.
Green today, bro.
My guy, bro. That's my guy.
I just back.
What? No, I didn't say anything.
No, it does.
I mean, when somebody loses playing drops back there.
Brian, you're not
I'm
lying.
Just watching the Masters.
As you should.
And my phone right now. People are having fun.
He's on that Mad Dog.
Happy 28th birthday to the 903 who just texted in. Okay, so I love that advice from Overshown. Then we've got, when is the schedule going to be released? NFL's Vice President Mike North was on a podcast earlier this week. Said somewhere in the May 13th, 14th or 15th range is our target. But he did say there's a chance he'd come out a little bit earlier. Not a set date because you never know. If we have it done by like May 7th, we present it to Roger Goodell. Commissioner says, hey, this is perfect. We won't change a thing. Then boom, we'll come out. We'll release it. I don't know how excited people get for the schedule release. Now they've pushed it back because now it's like they got to have something to look forward to throughout the entire year in the NFL. They do a great job with this.
I think it's a big deal.
I do too.
I think it's a really
I still
big
get excited
thing.
About it.
Yeah.
I think for the Cowboys, I'm definitely wondering. I'm putting in the call. I think they're going to play the Jets at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I think they're going to get the London game this year. We'll see. We'll wait for it. But I'm going to put in the call if I'm wrong. I'll eat my words. I'll eat crow on that.
That's a really, that London trip is a blast.
That's going to be fun if they do. And it'd be, 5:30 a.m. start on the pregame show. Mm-hmm. We'd be done by like 11:30 and then postgame goes till what? 2:30? 1:30? So it'd be a great day.
Be a long day.
Get in, get out.
Yeah.
Knock it out. But I think it would be an amazing experience. Maybe we could do G-Bag Takes on London.
Let's do that. We could do the G. We could do pre and post out
shows,
there.
Shows fish in and chips.
Yeah, could we fulfill that because we also are doing the pre and post. Like, is there a way to make that happen?
Yeah, I think
so. 2 o'clock here would be 10 o'clock there. Do I got that right?
I think
it would
it's
be 8 o'clock.
Your guess is good.
It would be 8 o'clock. 8 hour difference.
Is it so? It'd be
7 or 8 hours.
It'd be 10 o'clock at night. So we'd be working like overnight in London.
Yeah, we would be.
Yeah.
The jet lag, whatever.
We'd be fine. Cool. It's a lot
we'll
of fun.
Figure it out. And then of course Thanksgiving, like who are you going to play? That's always a lot of fun. We did get some draft intel from all 32 teams, courtesy of all the contributors, the beat writers for ESPN. Cowboys intel right now, who do you think it's from? Well, that'd be our buddy
Todd Archer.
Todd Archer. Yeah. What's the most telling thing team owner Jerry Jones has said about the Cowboys draft plans? Well, Todd writes that when it comes to the draft, Jones has kept all options open. He believes that depth in this class matches up with the Cowboys' needs. Doesn't believe they need to force a pick at a particular spot. So at least when it comes to the first round, Cowboys can go best player available. That could be a corner, wide receiver, lineman, or even running back. There's exception to every plan, and the draft brings that concept out really well. Jordan Reed added that he is still thinking Matthew Golden, Tet McMillan, Omarion Hampton would be possibly in play, and the team's expressed interest in running backs Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins as well from Ohio State. Don't think either of them are in play there at pick number 12, but certainly at 44. Would be tremendous options for you. So we are getting closer to this. I'm still thinking as of today, we talked about this on the draft show, if I had to bet, I do think it'd be wide receiver. I'm going to lean Tet McMillan on this. Brian did go Matthew Golden, though.
I did.
Not because that's what you would do, because you think that's what they are going to
maybe
do.
Yeah, they
I think they're going to sell us on the idea, or they believe the idea that Mingo is their big-bodied guy, and they're going to go with a guy with speed.
That makes some sense.
They're going to go with a guy that can be a 50-50 catcher. But he separates better than most in this draft, and I kind of feel like that they're going to look at his legitimate speed and say, this is a guy that we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to sell us on the idea that they can use Mingo as that X on the other side, and then move, if they want to move CD on the outside, they could put Golden on the inside. There's some flexibility that way. I think that they don't want to I love McMillan. Don't get me wrong. I just am saying what I think they might be thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
Any of those receivers.
I can see that argument.
Any of those receivers will be worth it, and certainly more worth it than the second, third, fourth best running backs.
Yeah.
Well, are you? Do you believe they're going to sell us on Mingo, or are you still have faith in Mingo?
No. They're going to sell
you on Mingo. They're going to do when they have their pre-draft meetings. They're going to and somebody's Archer's going to ask a question about wide receivers. And Mingo is going to be mentioned. And they're going to sell you on the idea that we had a high second round grade on him. And we still do believe that he could be this guy, this big bodied X that could go in there. We talk about his blocking, how physical he played. We talk about, he just has not ever had anybody that's thrown him the ball since college that's been very accurate throwing it to him. So to me, I could see them saying, we're going to see what we have in Mingo. And that's why I think they would consider drafting Golden. Just because he is unlike anything else they have on their roster right now.
Sure. And I'd argue for Emeka Egbuka, but I don't know how they feel. So maybe he's not in play there, even though they did meet with Egbuka. We have forgotten about that. They have met
They've
with
met
Emeka
with all
Egbuka.
The top receivers.
They did. Burden as well. Yeah. Schmuck of the Week nominee.
Ooh.
Per usual, we're going to New York, and we're going to the Jets, otherwise known as the Jeets. and it's going to be Woody Johnson, the team's owner. Now, they signed Justin Fields, who was a member of the 2021 draft class. He's going to be their starting quarterback. So when meeting with Rich Simini of ESPN, he's asking him about Fields. And Woody Johnson said that he felt Fields and number one overall pick that year, Trevor Lawrence, were the top two quarterbacks in that class. Quote, "I think Justin Fields is going to be a total winner for us. I've been impressed with him since his early days in college. It was Fields or Trevor. And I think he's going to be really, really good," Johnson said. Now, that would be fine, except the Jets did draft Zach Wilson nine spots ahead of Justin Fields in that draft. He just totally forgot about that, I guess.
Well, that was Brick's decision.
Yeah, Woody slept since then.
It might be a situation where they blame the GM for that. The owner really wanted one guy, and the GM talked him into another. I mean, look what happened in Atlanta. They sign a quarterback and draft a quarterback. Sometimes the owners are like, "What? What'd you just do? No, wait, what?" You're right.
It's bad.
It is bad.
It's not good.
I know we picked Wilson, but it was really between Fields and Lawrence.
I think he totally forgot Zach Wilson was even in that draft.
Well, he just forgot Zach Wilson, that he's how bad Zach Wilson
played. He's forgettable.
Played for him.
He had a forgettable tenure there. There's NFL News of the Day.
Thank you. Well, Chuck, NFL News of the Day every afternoon, 3 o'clock. Now, the nosebleed diss track reply to Bobby Belt is coming up at 4:20 in just over an hour. But Mike Hyka, DallasStars.com, joins us next in the Nation. Welcome back, Nation. Hope you're having a great day. Stars and Jets tonight at 7 o'clock in the AAC. And we're about to talk hockey here with Mike Hyka, DallasStars.com. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-0817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Wow, those baby bald eagles are starting to get big.
They've gotten so huge, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
As Mike Hyka, DallasStars.com, joins us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, Mike. How the heck are you?
I'm excited for tonight.
Yes, sir. How good are the Stars' chances of stealing this division in the last week if they can win this one?
Even if they win this one, it's still going to be tough because I think Winnipeg would have the tiebreakers. The first tiebreaker is, I believe, regulation wins, and then regulation overtime wins. I think the Jets are in a good place on both those. The good thing is if they have a strong performance, if they, you know, get their confidence back tonight, they seem to finish out with three winnable games with Utah, Detroit, and Nashville, who are all going to miss the playoffs. So, I mean, on that side, the scheduling could help them. But it really would have to come down to the end because Winnipeg's a very good team and they find a way to win a lot of different games.
Have you observed any signs that maybe these third period meltdowns have altered their confidence in any way so far?
No, but Pete said yesterday, I thought it was a really good comment, that one of the problems with a situation like this, especially when it's three games in a row, is that the next time it happens, and it will happen, then the thought process is, oh no, here we go again, almost like a golf shot or whatever. The good part is that up until this little stretch, they were 35-1-1 in closing out games. I think they're among the leaders in empty net goals with 19. So literally for the 80%, 90% of the season, they were fantastic in third periods. I think they're 12-3-3 or something like that when tied after two periods. Like I said, they were 35-1-1 when leading after two periods. So this is a recent phenomenon. It is concerning, obviously, this close to the playoffs. But they've battled this in the past and been very good at it. So in that regard, you sit there and go, okay, well, they'll be fine. But there is that it plants a seed of, and this is what I think happened the other night, is you give up one, oh, no, well, let's just not give up an, oh, no, we gave up two. Well, of course, we're not going to give up three, and then 5 seconds left in the game, and there's a guy wide open in the slot. So it does get into your brain, I think, a little bit, but hopefully they find a way to deal with it.
And they're still 7-1-2 in their last 10 here, Mike. It's not like they're playing bad hockey, but certainly that could linger, and they need to stop the bleeding as early as tonight, hopefully. But What do you think is some of the biggest issues there with those late lapses? Is it just self-inflicted wounds? Is it defensively? Are they just not where they need to be right now?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. So literally for the last 12, 15 games, they have been, their record's been fantastic, but a lot of it has been based on goaltending. I believe the last 11 games, they have been outshot, which is something they have not done in the Pete DeBoer era. They almost always outshoot the opposition. So that's certainly a problem. Part of the reason they're, getting outshot is they can't get the puck out of their own end at times. They get stuck back there. And then when they do get stuck back there, then that's when you take penalties. So when you're just spending time in your defensive zone, those are the teams that are the most penalized. Well, Stars have been one of the least penalized teams because they control the puck, they get it into the offensive zone, they play with the lead a lot. That's also a big thing. So they've actually been playing with the lead lately, but they're just making, I don't know what it is. I think their turnovers are up. So that's either a physical decision where you just screw up, or it's reading the play wrong and the opposition sees where you're going. And then the other thing is, it's just getting the puck out. They miss Miro. They definitely miss Miro because that is what he does. As much as Cale Makar or these others who win the Vezina, defenseman award, is my brain's freezing here. Mm-hmm. But those guys score points. Miro controls the puck. And he's it's like having a great point guard. And you're, everything plays off of that. Everything he touches, there's ripples that come off of what Miro does because he calms him down. He gets the puck out. He makes a 5-foot pass to an open forward. And all of a sudden now they're going through the neutral zone with speed. And it's just a lot of different things. So that's a big part of it, but they got to find a way to deal with it. Cause there's a really good chance he's not ready for the first round.
Don't feel bad about forgetting names. Broadus does it all the time here on our show, Mike.
Yeah.
Is it the Norris?
I was ready to chime in with the Norris. I was thinking, is it the Selke or the Norris trophy? Yeah.
It's a Norris. Hey, good job.
Yeah. Good old Norris. It's our senior staff writer for DallasStars.com, Mike Heiko, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. You brought up Miro. Is there any new news on him? They seemed to note during the broadcast that he for sure would be out of the opening round series. Did the Stars push back on that at all? And we did get positive news on Sagan today, right?
Yeah, well, and again, we've had positive news. Honest and truly, and again, I don't want to talk out of school because I don't know all the numbers, but one of the big problems with Sagan is that he makes $9.5 million and he's on long-term IR. So then there are financial contract issues that have to be satisfied for him to play a game in the regular season. He hasn't gone through the physical contact yet, or at least not enough of it to put him in the lineup. But even if they do that, there's a chance he may not be able to play in an NHL regular season game. Now, Gabriel Landeskog, who's been out for 2.5-3 years, is going to the minors, and there's a chance he might play in the AHL to get himself ready for a return for Colorado. And so I think that option is there for Tyler. It's called a conditioning stint, and you don't need any kind of contract changes to do that. So I think that option's there. We asked Pete about it the other day. He said he wasn't really sure. A lot of all of this is they're not really sure. And to be quite honest on Pete, I think he got asked a month ago, is there a chance Miro could miss the first round? And he said, sure, there's a chance. I mean, we don't know. And he's kind of followed that answer, which I think is a very honest answer. They don't know. I don't think there's any chance Miro could play in the regular season. But then does that mean that by game 4, if it's 2-2 or, if game 5, it's 2-2 and he's skating and he looks good, could he jump right in and play in a key game 5 against Colorado? I think he, it's an option. I think it's something we don't know. And so a lot of this is how he responds and, what he does when he's on the ice. And then the other issue is that we've seen when Miro comes back off whatever little injuries he has, they play him for 25 or 26 minutes. They don't ease him into the game too often because you're a coach and you want to win, and he does 100 things really well. And so then I think the temptation is, if you're going to put him in, you need to have him in a really good place, because I don't think that they're very good at, like I said, that just giving him a shift here and there and seeing how he works it out. I mean, maybe they'll change. Maybe that'll be something they work on. But I truly believe that they don't know. I think it's a day-to-day proposition. They're going to have to get him out on the ice. They're going to have to get him with the team. They're going to have to work him against the boards and see how the knee holds up against, you know, physical contact. And then we'll see. Like I said, if we get to the point where it's game seven, I think he's definitely that definitely changes a lot of things if they're to a place where they could be eliminated from the playoffs. But I honestly believe we're just going to have to take it day to day at this point in time. I do believe Tyler Seguin will play in game one. I think he's in a place where he's ready. It's just a matter of how does he, you know, get himself ready. Is that, you know, do the Stars change some things around and let him play in a game at Nashville or Detroit, or do they just, you know, do they send him to the AHL, or do they just run him through practice and put him out there for game one? But I think he's going to be on the ice for game one.
Mike Hike at DallasStars.com, just painting the picture of, was that a possibility of a Miro return in game seven? That kind of gave me goosebumps right there. How dramatic would that be?
Exciting.
Well, it'd be great. And Pete's history in game sevens, there'd be 100 things. There's so many goofy things in this potential series. One, Landeskog is their captain. It's Colorado's captain. He's been out for more than 2 years. He's really been working hard to come back. And then the question is he going to be ready? It looks like he probably will, but we'll see. The other thing is Miro Rantanen is like, he was Colorado royalty. And now he's going to go out there and try and steal their thunder. And you know, for whoever loses, if this is the first round series, and I think it will be, whoever loses this first round series, is their season's just going to, it's going to be a punch in the gut, because both teams have aspirations of winning the cup. Both teams have made big moves either in the off season or during the season. So it's going to be great. It's going to be a tremendous series. And if it were to go to game seven and Miro would come, it would be great drama. I mean, I think the eyes of the, you know, I think Florida and Tampa are going to be playing too potentially. And, you know, the eyes of the East would probably be on that. I think the eyes of the NHL West are definitely going to be on this series.
How much of an add is Seguin coming off the injury and maybe a little rusty? What do you hope, or what do you think they get from him?
Well, there's two sides to all this. He's gone through the playoffs before and he hasn't been healthy, and it has affected his playoff numbers. Like, his playoff numbers are not near as good as his regular season numbers, and that's generally because he's been hurt in the playoffs. So that history is there. Second, he had 22 points in 21 games to start the season playing with Duchesne and Marchment, and that line at even strength, I think, was the best line in the NHL. So now, you know, they're playing with Granlund right now. Would they go right back to Duchesne, Marchment, Seguin? If they do, can they get that magic back really quickly? If they do, then that's just amazing. Now you're talking about a second line that, you know, might be even better than your first line. Your first line has Robertson, Henson, and Rantanen, which might be one of the better lines in the league as well. So you take all that. Then the other third part is, if you really like Granlund and Granlund's playing well with Duchesne and Marchment, could you put Tyler with Jamie Benn and Wyatt Johnston? And Tyler, when he's gotten a chance to play with Jamie Benn, as he did for, you know, the better part of the previous 10 years, he's actually looked pretty good in that role too. So it's just a lot of, I think Tyler's going to be great. I think the fact that he's worked really hard to get through this, the fact that he had his first child, it's just things that I think help a player get centered and you know, get in a place where they can perform well in these situations. So we'll see. But in my mind, I think he's going to have a really good playoff.
Well, thank you for all those insights and knowledge, Mike. That was terrific. And enjoy the run, sir. Maybe we'll chat with you soon.
That would be great. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. Yes. Mike Hike at DallasStars.com breaking it down. And that a couple exciting things there at the end. You know, Sagan's potential impact, Miro returning. But this series with the Avs is going to be an absolute war. And whoever, like he said, whoever loses is just going to feel gut punched because either one could win the cup, but also will be out first round, one of the two. Diss track coming up at 4:20. The Nosebleeds' response to Bobby Belt, who went upside their head after they refused to vote him five-time G-Bag of the Day champ. They will reply to that coming up at 4:20. But Krusty's Corner is next, buddy. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, which one of these defensive players in this draft fits Matt Eberflus's scheme the best? We'll do that next.
Thank you, Lucius. We are now just 2 weeks till the NFL draft. It's time for Krusty's Corner. Former Cowboys scout, Super Bowl champ Brian Broaddus, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king, Broaddus.
Thank you very much, General. Thank you very much to Reliant as well. Before I get started, too, Eric and I did a Love of the Star podcast for you this morning.
We sure did.
So
yeah, baby.
After our show today, if you feel so inclined to get on the treadmill or go out for your walk, put it on in your ears, check it out. I thought we did a pretty good job today.
You are on fire, dude. I mean, you are so locked in right now. We're 2 weeks out from the draft, and you are just getting buckets at a rapid rate.
I'm trying.
You're like Caitlin Clark versus the scrub volunteer dudes at Iowa. You're going 22 points in 2 minutes.
Some of those shots she knocked down were like good 30 feet
pulling
away
from half
goal.
Court, draining off balance, off dribble.
Crazy,
like, what is happening?
Crazy how I was like, going, how about get a hand in her face? I guess not. I mean, she was knocking them down. And tomorrow, guys, we're going to do the wing challenge. Should we talk about that with the wings, with the honey barbecue, with the blue cheese?
Blue cheese.
Is that what we were talking about tomorrow?
That's right.
Wow.
Tis the season for Pluckers wings.
I think
wings.
We were
Why
trying
not?
We'll do a bunch of different sauces and stuff, but I wanted to make sure that we'll at least we wanted to see if the honey barbecue worked well with the blue cheese.
Right? Now, are you making these wings?
No. Here? I'm going to go buy these things. Okay. I'm going to go buy 100 of them or so, I guess. I don't know.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. We can eat a lot of wings, can't we? Dawson, we can eat these wings, right?
Oh, absolutely. You mean you're looking at the guy that can eat it. His name is Eric, right?
Oh,
there.
Oh, no. Hey,
Eric, guilty as charged. Easy.
Yeah, exactly.
37's my record, bone in.
We need 150.
Yeah. But we kind of, how many did you eat that one time in 2 minutes? Was it 16?
Oh, it was... That's a good question. I think it was 15.
15?
15, yeah.
15 wings. And
beat ups.
And we figured
but
out.
Remember, he got the rhythm late.
Yeah, but we figured out they need to be warm.
They have to be fresh where they slide off the bone. Yeah, because the second time I tried, it was like
cold.
An hour after I had ordered
the
it.
Cold, that's right.
And the cold, it sticks.
Cold
those wings stick to the bone.
Stick. So, yeah. We're
not conducive for speed.
Yeah, I'm gonna order up a bunch of wings for us tomorrow and bring them in, and we'll do our taste test. But, for Friday lunch. So excited
awesome.
About that.
Thank you.
And again, excited about next Thursday of our Draft 101. And like I have encouraged you for, even if you're a fan of the Cowboys, not a fan of the Cowboys, please show up if you're interested in the draft. We'd love to have you here. And thank you to our guys, Travis, and those guys at Whataburger for providing all the food for us. They do a tremendous job. All right. I ran across this, some of the draft content, and this comes as I've been kind of looking at Pro Football Focus, they've really kind of locked into some draft specific stuff. And I thought this was pretty interesting. Can you guys tell me what scheme you would think? And cause it wasn't part of it. What scheme would you say that Brian Schottenheimer lends himself to? Because, and I ask you this question because I got an idea of Matt Eberflus. I got an idea of how Eberflus calls defense, but I don't know. And the way they kind of broke this thing down, they've got the Shanahan scheme, which is the notable play callers of Kyle, Kevin O'Connell, Mike McDaniel, Clint Kubiak. That's the Shanahan scheme. Successful outside zone run scheme. Explosive plays created via play action. Maximize yards after catch. That's Shanahan's scheme. Not our guy, right? That's not our guy.
No, I don't feel like that's Schottenheimer.
Okay, not Schottenheimer. All right, let's go down to the next one. Modern spread RPO scheme.
Yeah.
Notable play callers. Andy Reid, Nick Sirianni, Kellen Moore, Shane Steichen.
Yeah, I think there could be some of that.
Might have some of that.
Efficient inside zone run scheme.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was Clayton Adams definitely. With the Cardinals.
Okay,
yeah.
high RPO rate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, creates mismatches versus man coverage.
Yeah, that's kind of what he was talking about that he wants to try and do.
Okay, we'll circle back on that one. I couldn't quite think about what, but let me give you the last one.
Play action. I think he's a big play action guy.
Yeah, let me give you the last one then. Multiple run read option scheme.
More of that.
This is Todd Monken. This is Cliff Kingsbury. This is Greg Roman pre-Chargers.
Okay.
Do you still feel that he falls in the multiple run read option scheme is quarterback-centric offense that allows for dual threat quarterback.
No.
Multiple run schemes that include pullers.
That
misdirections
is,
and yeah. options.
Yeah, yeah, I think the multiple run scheme, I agree, but yeah. not anymore. With I don't think Dak's a guy that's going to be doing a whole lot of running right now.
No, but it's just the threat that he could steal 5 yards from you, and I think he's credible enough. We're not yeah. trying to run him a lot. We're just running that action to get the look, and if they ignore him, then he'll take the free halfway to a first down, you know, but avoiding contact at all costs.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. And the last little category in that one is varied passing game depending on type of passer.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you feel like that Schottenheimer's the multiple run read option guy?
Yes.
Or do you feel like he's the modern spread RPO scheme guy?
I don't think it's the RPO stuff as much. I think there's elements to a lot of this stuff because I'm kind of looking at what the Cardinals were doing. It seems like Schottenheimer's broadening his own personal horizon. So whatever it was that Schottenheimer's done in the past isn't necessarily, based on the coaching staff that he's brought in, what they're doing now, which I think is awesome because he's willing to evolve. So
okay.
What was Drew Petzing and the Cardinals doing? I was waiting for his name to pop up there, yeah. How they categorize him, because I think there's going to be some elements to very versatile in the way they attack you in the run game in terms of inside zone, man, outside zone, counter, pull, lead, power. All those are going yeah. to be in the mix there on
so
the menu.
That'd be but multiple runs.
Yes.
Right? Multiple
yeah. runs. And then you have the yeah. McVay factor of the cut splits and the blockers that, you know, wide receivers that really get involved in the run game from a blocking standpoint.
Yeah. Right. Reduce
and multiple
formation.
Personnel grouping. Yeah. So I think there's elements to a lot of these guys based on what the Cardinals were doing, and that's where you got your OC Clayton Adams.
Okay, we'll circle back on that one tomorrow. But okay, but I want to, since on defense they've tagged Matt Eberflus. And Matt Eberflus falls under the zone-based
right.
4-2-5 scheme.
Bend, don't break.
Yeah. Sure. 4 down linemen, 2 linebackers, 5 defensive
funnel
backs.
Everything inside, keep it in front of us.
Yeah, these are the notable play callers that do this. Bob Sala has got this one. D'Amico Ryans, Matt Eberflus, and Shane Bowen are the zone-based 4-2-5 guys. Okay. What are the goals for the 4-2-5? Apply pressure with 4-man rush, low blitz rate.
That's right.
Okay. High zone coverage rates, generally cover 3 or cover 4.
Yeah.
Penetrate interior gaps in run defense. Okay. That's mm-hmm. what they kind of say.
That's why Osa had to
come
back. That's
why 3-tech. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So that's the 4-2-5 cats. Okay. Here's the players in this draft that fit a 4-2-5 scheme, okay, according to Pro Football Focus. At edge, Shamar Stewart, Texas A&M. JT Tumalau, Ohio State.
Hell yeah.
Interior defensive tackle, Mason Graham, yep. Michigan.
Yep.
Interior defensive lineman, Jamari Caldwell, Oregon. Linebacker, Demetrius Knight
yeah.
from South Carolina.
They met with him.
Linebacker Jack Kaiser, Notre Dame.
Okay.
Outside cornerback Jody Barron from Texas.
There you go. He's the best in the business.
Outside corner Darian Porter from Iowa State. Slot corner Jacob Parrish
yes.
from Kansas State.
Let's go.
Safety Andrew Makuba,
yes.
Texas.
Let's go.
Safety RJ Mickens from Clemson.
Local. South Lake's own.
Yeah.
Let's go, RJ.
Okay. So it's the what they're talking about here is as they make this presentation is that they want to start with Mason Graham as a potentially dominant three technique at the NFL level, who is very highly graded by Pro Football Focus. There's some changes in this. They think of pass rush development with Stewart and Tua Malau. Yeah. I'm not sold on Stewart's pass rush.
Me either.
And Tua Malau, I don't think rushes the passer at all.
I wouldn't say at all. I think he's more of a power rusher than he's a speed rusher.
Right. But both these guys would be better. They play with more power than they do moves.
Agreed.
Right. So they don't free themselves as much.
Sure.
Okay. On the second level, Jack Kaiser. What do you think of Jack Kaiser from Notre Dame?
I mean, super instinctive player. I mean, the dude, he's a really good open field tackler. I mean, special teams wise, he's going to be able to contribute right away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he ended up making plays that athletically, I'm like, how in the world did he get there?
Yeah.
You know, because he's not the fastest guy in the world, but I think he really understands leverage and angles, and he's a good pursuit player because of that. He wraps up well, brings ball carriers down. But, yeah, he does lack some, like, general athleticism, but I think that he's football fast. I don't think he didn't test great.
No.
But he's faster on tape than what he tested.
They really like Knight for his elite coverage, is what they say. So they like Kaiser for the run defense, and they like Knight for the way that he covers.
Yeah, he's good in zone coverage
for
sure.
Very good.
I don't love him in man, but he's great in zone.
Okay, the zone coverage ability, the theme of the secondary, we have that in spades here with Barron and Porter ranked first and second among the cornerbacks when it comes to cover grade in 2024.
I'm pretty out on Porter.
Okay. If we combine coverage of across the snaps in cover three and cover four, Andrew Mukuba and R.J. Mickens both rank in the top three, the power four safeties. Parrish rounds out the group as a solid zone player himself who could play in the slot. You love Parrish. I love Parrish.
We love
Mukuba, right?
Yeah, love Mukuba.
Do you think you have to take Mukuba? We would have to take Mukuba.
Second round.
I think so, too.
I think Parrish could get there in the third.
But there's people, if you look at the beast, Dane Brugler thinks that Makuba's a fourth-round player.
He does. So, I mean, there could be some. Maybe Mukuba could make it to you at three.
Man, I don't know about that. I just don't know how you watch Makuba's tape and not see him.
His safety rankings were very interesting.
Very interesting there. So those are the players that Pro Football Focus has as best fits for a 4-2-5 scheme. We all do really, really like. I like Porter more than you, the Iowa corner. I like his length. We all love Barron. We love Graham. The edges I'm not really sold on with this group.
I like JTT a lot.
I mean, as far as pass rushers.
Yeah.
I get
what you mean.
Okay.
So you're zeroing in more on scheme fit here as we approach 2 weeks to draft.
Yeah, how about that?
I love it.
How about that?
Do you think you can isolate it? Is it that important that in that group of players that fit that scheme, they have a significantly higher probability of being picked?
I would say it's an interesting way to do things. Yeah. I mean, like I say, if I could figure out what exactly that Schottenheimer wants to do offensively, and if it's the pin and pulls and the things like that, it's the movement, the line stuff.
I'll see what kind of players that he's
you
got.
Yeah, you could fit those guys. Absolutely, you could fit these guys. You could zero in on guys they would like just on potential scheme fits here.
I can't wait to watch this offense in Oxnard. That was a great primer for it. Yeah. Draft 2 weeks away. Our path to the draft coverage is brought to you by Pluckers. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning every afternoon, 3:40. Nosebleeds reply to Bobby Belt is now 23 minutes away. It's coming up at 4:20. Let's talk baseball. Some Rangers are struggling, but is this Ranger back to his World Series form at the plate? That's coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation.